Fatima and the miracles of conversion. By Our Lady's instruction, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta knew what it meant to sacrifice in reparation for sin. They knew they could appease Almighty God. Our Lady chose simple little children to spread her message. Why? They had the faith. In the faithless world of the late 20th century, by truly living and spreading the Fatima message, miracles of conversion will result. It should be a lesson to all Catholics, young and old, priests and bishops too. It is an apocalyptic message from the Mother of God, and it is meant for us today. Now, Father Hardin.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our subject, therefore, is Fatima and miracles of conversion. Over the centuries, there have been many shrines dedicated to Our Lady at which miracles are performed. The outstanding, of course, is Lourdes, where the miracles performed through Our Lady's intercession are physical miracles of healing, even of people who are dying. Fatima, on the other hand, is a principal Marian shrine in the world whose avowed purpose is not just conversion, but, we dare say, miracles of conversion. What are we saying? We are saying now, the directives revealed by Our Lady to the three seers at Fatima are the divinely ordained conditions for converting a world that desperately needs to return to God. My plan for this conference is to cover the following areas of a vast, and I mean vast, subject. First, what is the essential message of Fatima in the light of papal teaching? Secondly, what are the principal means of fulfilling this essential message? And finally, what is the basic reason for expecting miracles of conversion in the modern world? Our plan is to take each one of these three issues, first take them separately, and then tie them together in order to understand how basic it is to see Our Lady as being used, as you may say, by her divine Son and the conversion of a world so widely estranged from its Maker. Our first area of reflection: what is the essential message of Fatima? In plain English, this essential message has nothing new to the divine revelation which we believe was completed by the end of the apostolic age. We commonly identify the close of the apostolic age with the beginning of the second century. But then this raises a question. Why then does God periodically communicate certain messages to the world through such mystics as, say, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila? We may ask, are the public revelations made by God in all the previous centuries of biblical history not sufficient? And if they are not adequate, then why have we what we call private revelations ever since? Why does God, dare we say, provide revelations such as we associate with Fatima after centuries after the public revelation of the sacred scriptures was closed? The Holy Spirit does this not in order to reveal something unknown before, but to alert people to a truth already revealed, but unfortunately ignored, and a truth which, though ignored, desperately needs to be met at certain periods of human history. Having said this, we now ask our question. What is the single greatest need of our day? It is not just my answer, but the answer of one modern bishop of Rome after another. What is the greatest need of our day? Is the radical conversion from self-idolatry to faith in a loving God who became man and died on the cross out of love for us, so that we might be willing to die to ourselves out of love for Him. Here then is the real understanding of the essential message of Fatima. Unless we see this, then Fatima, I have to say it, is meaningless. Our modern world is steeped in sin. All of this, I repeat, is an indispensable prelude to understanding and appreciating how Fatima has been specially chosen by God as a means for converting a sinful world. The world, we may safely say, needs conversion in our day as never before. Pope John Paul II expressed this fact in the clearest possible language during his 3-day stay in Fatima in 1982. I quote the Holy Father, "Today, the successor of Peter presents himself before the mother of the Son of God at Fatima. In what way does he come?" The Pope answered his own question, and now follows a fairly long question placed in the form of a quotation, says the Vicar of Christ. I quote, "The Vicar of Christ presents himself reading, again with trepidation, the motherly call to penance, to conversion, to the appeal, ardent appeal, of the heart of Mary that resulted at Fatima 65 years ago. Yes, he reads it again with trepidation in his heart, because he sees how many people, in how many societies, how many Christians have gone in the opposite direction to the one indicated in the message of Fatima. Sin has made itself firmly at home in the world, and denial of God has become widespread in the ideologies, the ideas, and the plans of human beings," unquote, Pope John Paul II. It is not just, we may say, how the world is steeped in sin. The world now thinks in terms of sin. The philosophy of the world is the philosophy of sin. No words can describe the havoc worked in millions of once-believing Christians by the modern media of communication. Over the years, I never tire repeating, talking to one audience after another, Marshall McLuhan's commentary. McLuhan, as you know, is a great Canadian philosopher of the media. Says McLuhan, "The modern media of communication are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth." Unquote, Marshall McLuhan. And the media have been demonically successful. It is as though the evil spirit had a field day in sowing errors in the minds of whole nations. These errors grew to become such massive evils as the world has never experienced before. Let's make sure we know what we're saying. All evil in the will has its roots in error in the mind. The devil sows error in the mind in order that he might then produce the fruit of evil in human wills. The modern media of communication, with some, but only some, exception, are controlled by those who on principle are opposed to everything which God became man to teach a sinful world. To name just four areas. First, scores of once civilized nations now legalize and in fact legislate murder. The murder of close to 100 million children every year. And the United States has promoted this murder in its highest judiciary authority. and non-murderers are going to jail, but the defenders of human life are being imprisoned. Secondly, sexual perversions like sodomy are now so widely practiced that again, civil laws have been enacted to defend the perversity and penalize those who still believe in the sixth and ninth commandments of the Decalogue. In the state of Michigan, for example, it is required by law that homosexuality be taught in the schools as an alternate way of life. Third, family life in one's Christian natures is in shambles. Their contraception has been reduced to an exact science, and infidelity has been elevated to a fine art. How widely, how very widely, the crime of contraception is practiced throughout the world. And sadly, dear God, have mercy on them. How sadly, even churchmen in the Roman Catholic Church, including, may God forgive them, bishops of the Catholic Church, are defending contraception in open contradiction to the teachings of the Vicar of Christ. Fourth, pride, ambition, and lust for power have made the 20th century the bloodiest in human history. The wars of this century have killed more people than all the wars in all the annals of mankind put together during all the previous millennia before 1900. Surely, the Vicar of Christ was not exaggerating when he said, quote, "Sin has made itself firmly at home in the world today," unquote. Back to our theme. The essential message of Fatima is therefore the most fundamental need of the modern world. It is conversion. Conversion, or turning away from sin and returning in obedience to the will of God. And most fundamentally, it is conversion from the idolatrous love of self to the love of God. So much for the first part of our conference. We go on. The principal means we know that the Fatima message does not stop with identifying the world as having a great need for conversion. It also provides the most effective way to meet this need. Here we must pause for a moment to ask ourselves, what is the root cause of this cosmic spread of sin, even to the denial of God and his rights to obedience from creatures whom he brought into being out of nothing? And I repeat, back from disobedience on a scale unknown in all the recorded history of the human race to the present day. The root cause is not only human weakness or even human malice. It is nothing less than the mysterious activity of the evil spirit, that is, of Satan and his minions, at work in the world with a power and a cunning that has no counterpart. The devil, remember, became the devil because he refused to submit to God. And no less than the devil entered the heart of Judas, who then betrayed Jesus Christ and brought on Christ's passion and death on Calvary. So this same devil is now possessing the hearts of so many people, and, dear Lord, what widespread crucifixion of the mystical body of Christ the devil is causing, and let me say it, through Judas's in the world today. That is why the message of Fatima is a living commentary on St. Paul's teaching that our final struggle is not only against flesh and blood. Oh no. We are in conflict with the evil principalities and powers in high places. We are literally at war with the devil. And the sooner we realize that, the better for ourselves and for the world. That is why the underlying strategy of Fatima is to urge the followers of Christ to rise and use superhuman means to overcome what are superhuman forces of evil that have been let loose on the world in our day. When we use, as we do constantly, terms like supernatural or superhuman, as be sure we keep in mind that there are two kinds of superhuman or supernatural of which we are speaking. There is a superhuman which is beyond the power of man. But there is also a superhuman because it exceeds both the power of man and the power of the evil spirit. In other words, nature cannot compete, cannot control, I don't say itself, it cannot control, what a safe statement, the powers of the evil spirit. We need divine grace to cope with a power that is beyond the human because it is demonic. Over the years in teaching theology to my Jesuit students, I never tired repeating, my brethren in Christ, when we speak of supernatural, let's be sure we know what we're talking about. Divine grace is indeed supernatural, but not only supernatural and being beyond human power. It is also supernatural because it is beyond demonic power. We have, I believe, become so used to speaking of the supernatural powers of grace. that we're liable to miss-see the obvious. What do we mean? We mean that, first of all, nature is no match for coping with the deadly of sin in our day. Only divine grace can provide the light and strength that the world needs to return to repentance to God, from whom it has strayed. But, and I want to emphasize, we need grace more than ever before in the history of Christianity, because of the powers of hell that have been allowed by God to be let loose on the world in our century. Let's be clear. Our human will, we may say, is very powerful. So powerful that we, though creatures who are except with God's almighty love, would not even exist. How powerful is the human will? Oh, get it. Get it. And I kept repeating over the years of teaching theology, get it. The human will is powerful, very, very powerful, to do what? To do evil. Do you hear me? To do his own will, to resist even the will of omnipotence. With our human wills, we can say no to God. We can sin and resist almighty power by our own free will. But, and what an adversity of this is, once we have sinned, we cannot return to the God from whom we have strayed by our own powers. And Christ, remember, at the Last Supper tells us, I like the Latin, sine me nihil potestis facere, without me you can do nothing. That has two profound meanings. Without me you can do nothing good on the way to heaven. Second meaning, without me you can't do nothing. You can destroy. You can annihilate. Without me, you can ruin yourself and ruin others. You can join the devil in hell without me.